just my wife, and she's earned that right after 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, yeah, because you can't trust that easily on things that are this important. And I'm not saying you have to be paranoid either. This is really more about understanding the risk. The risk is there if you give up the access, and it isn't if you don't, or at least it's lessened.
It's lessened.
So why give it up easily? Why give it up?
If you use the internet, then you face serious threats to your privacy and constitutional rights. George Orwell 2084 is a show like no other. It's time to fight back. Here he is, David Bowron.
We're going to have to remember this date, December the 1st, 2016, because it was when the destruction of your Fourth Amendment right took place. It was Representative Blake Fahrenthold, Republican out of Texas, that said this. We're in the midst right now of one of the biggest battles in the privacy world that we have faced. If we keep down this path, we're going to wake up a few years in George Orwell's 1984. This is why, as we fight for security, any intrusion on privacy needs to be narrowly tailored and aggressively overseen. End of quote. The problem is, he said that, which is spot on, which I agree with 100%. He said that back in October of 2016 because of Congress's failure to act. Rule 41 has taken place and has utterly destroyed your Fourth Amendment right. We call it, it's Rule 41 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedures, but we call it, aka, the Mass Hacking Act. Rule 41 authorizes federal magistrate judges to issue warrants for law enforcement searches and seizures. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? But watch this. But it contains an important limitation. It requires the government to get a warrant from a judge in the jurisdiction where they want to conduct the search. Okay, that's fine. Except in certain limited circumstances. Here comes the really gray part. The amendments to Rule 41 water down that restriction. That's what took place December 1st. Which allows the government to apply for warrants in one jurisdiction to conduct remote searches for or of computers located in a totally different jurisdiction. So, another way of saying this, these changes to the rule, which went into effect December 1st, also invite law enforcement to seek a single warrant to remotely search thousands of computers, which is in total violation of the protections of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and international human rights law. Well, the U.S. government wants to use this procedure, known as Rule 41, to radically expand their authority to hack. The changes to Rule 41 would make it easier for them to break into our computers, anybody's computer, take data, and engage in remote surveillance. If you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't have anything to hide, you're missing the point. Never should you allow a government to destroy one of the amendments of the Constitution and your rights of law, your human rights, your civil liberties, because that's exactly what they have done. And that's exactly what we're going to discuss with our guest, Jeremy Duffy, aka the Geek Professor, today on George Orwell 2084. Well, so what is Rule 41? All right, well, Rule 41 authorizes federal magistrate judges to issue warrants for law enforcement searches and seizures. That's what it does. But here's the limitation. Again, It requires a judge. It requires the government to get a warrant from a judge in one jurisdiction, but they're allowed to conduct searches anywhere they want to, in a total other jurisdiction, anywhere in the world. Okay? So that computer doesn't have to be in the United States. It could be anywhere in the world. All right. So the changes mean, and I'm trying to break this down in layman's terms, but anyway, they're using technological means to conceal the location of his or her computer. Well, that could give the government, if they're concealing, all right, the true location of their computer, then we have a right then to go in and search that computer because they obviously are doing criminal activity. No, that's not the case. All right. Most of the time, the reason people conceal the location of their computer by changing their IP address, by legally using a VPN or legally buying a router that has a different IP address in it, a VPN installed in there, it's to protect their homes and their businesses and their companies, like many, many companies do today with their employees. They're forced to use a VPN. You know why? It's to protect their data, their company data. That's what it's doing. It's protecting them from criminals, okay? That's the problem. That's one of the major problems with this new amendment to Rule 41. Well, there were over, at the time of this, the talks of this throughout the year, and then you just didn't hear anything. Really, November, you didn't hear anything. All you heard was the election, which is fine. I mean, that happened, and we needed to know about all that. But we didn't hear about this. We didn't hear about Rule 41 at all. And even on December 1st, we didn't hear about it. It was just quietly just passed. And that's exactly what's been going on for decades now in regards to NSA surveillance. That's why we have people like Edward Snowden out there said, I've had it with this, and William Binney and others. But at the time of this, a few months back, 50 organizations, including public interest groups and privacy tool providers, and internet companies, they united to speak out against the changes to Rule 41 to no avail, obviously. Congress just didn't listen. It fell on deaf ears. They did nothing. I mean, you had people on both sides of the aisle talking about this and talking that it was saying, hey, we must stop this. But nothing was done. Nothing. And so December 1st came and the amendments took place. All right, so let's review before we get to our guest on this, what's wrong with the changes to Rule 41? All right, well, it's going to dramatically increase the frequency of law enforcement agents hacking into computers. That's what it's going to do. That's because the changes authorize almost any federal magistrate judge in the country to issue these warrants. Anybody can. Law enforcement can forum shop, finding the most prosecution-friendly or technically unsophisticated magistrate judge in the United States to sign off on these dangerous warrants. That's what they could do. Not good. Under these changes now, judges in almost any U.S. district could authorize law enforcement to remotely search or hack into the computers of people in cases where their privacy protective technology obscures the location of their computer. Now you say, well, obviously they're doing something wrong, so we're going to check them out. This means that most concerned about their privacy are likely to be disproportionately impacted by this rule change. That's what it's saying. In other words, for those of us that are standing up for our Fourth Amendment rights and our international human right laws, just to protect ourselves from criminals, well, the federal government can say, we need to check you out. In many cases, these judges would likely be unknowingly signing off on warrants for computers located anywhere in the world. Not just the United States, regardless of the legal protections of other countries. And this is why you need to take a step further and not have things on your computer for two reasons. For this, because let me tell you something, because they're able to do this now, opens up the door or the Pandora's box to criminals. It's going to make it easier for criminals to get in here. Because now they're going to mandate that tech companies build more backdoors. Hey, U.S. tech companies have cooperated in a big way with the federal government. And they've created backdoors already so that they could peek into these computers. And by doing so, it's opened up this epidemic of cyber crimes that we are seeing. And it's evidence. Look in the news. It's almost every single day you're seeing attacks against major U.S. companies. I did a show a few weeks back. $3 billion has been lost, was lost last year in business email compromise scams. U.S. companies, $3 billion, that's with a B. That's a lot of money. By this amendment to Rule 41, you're going to see this the crime wave dramatically increase. So you should be very, very concerned. This is very concerning. So the rule changes. They invite law enforcement, all right, to once again search all these computers all over the world with like one little warrant from a jurisdiction in the U.S. Hacking, breaking into computers, copying data. They could even delete data. You know, it was back in 2009 when Amazon decided to remotely go into their Kindle device and delete the book 1984 written by George Orwell. George Orwell's book 1984. And delete it from the devices. They were able to remotely do that. What's that tell you? There's backdoors created. That's what it should tell you. That was in 2009, by the way. So this change to Rule 41, they could do the same thing. They could delete data or executing code that can have serious consequences for users and their devices. A government agent could actually do more damage to the computers of innocent users during a what's called a botnet investigation than the botnet itself. So, Congress blew it. That's the bottom line. And they've authorized this hacking by doing nothing. Their silence made the law enforce the amendments. That's what they did. By doing nothing. December 1st rolled around, and then it went into effect. There's no strict limitations on when these actions are allowed. No strong protections for users consistent with the U.S. Constitution and international law. None. They've just basically destroyed your Fourth Amendment rights. I'll go through some of what some congressmen said. Privacy advocates, you need to hear this. This is what they were saying prior to all this. This is what they were talking about for the last few months leading up to December 1st. Representative Ted Poe said this. Government does not have the authority to unilaterally legalize widespread government hacking. Americans have rights. It is Congress' responsibility to safeguard the constitutional rights of the people they represent from a power-hungry executive branch. As such, we are moving to stop this change that condones hacking the property of the very people we are entrusted to protect. Well, he was right. Unfortunately, they didn't move to stop it in time. Cindy Cohn, the executive director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, had this to say. Any expansion of law enforcement's ability to remotely attack computers should be thoroughly considered by Congress, not passed off as a minor procedural adjustment, which it was. Yet Rule 41 would grossly expand the power of law enforcement to seek orders to attack and exploit computers around the country and around the world with no statutory guidance, safeguards, or consequences for the harm they will cause. It's not, and that's end of quote, it's not if they cause it. It's harm they will cause to your data, your computer, your rights. That's what's going on here. I'm getting worked up because it's infuriating. Brett Solomon, executive director of Access Now, he said that to say, the changes to Rule 41 harm both our human right to privacy and the cybersecurity of innocent users. That's exactly what I was saying earlier. Even worse, these changes are hidden from the public behind obscure procedural rules. The U.S. Congress needs to consider the right of users all around the world and insist on a public conversation about government hacking. Didn't happen. He was right. But here we are. Dr. Gus Hossein, Director of Privacy International, had this to say. I believe that government hacking is one of the gravest threats we face to our privacy and security. Consider how our devices have become seamless extensions of our lives, replacing our journals, our address books, our filing cabinets, and photo albums. Do we really want to allow governments broad access to this part of ourselves? It will give governments way too much information about and therefore too much power over each of us. Again, he was spot on. Notice how he coupled privacy and security. It is two different things, but I want you to understand something about privacy and security. If you live in a country like the United States where the privacy laws are amongst the worst in the world, literally they are, the legislation now with this, with the Obama great internet giveaway on October the 1st, we now live in a society where our privacy is a thing of the past, unless you take action to protect it yourself, which is lawful to do, regardless of what the government says. He coupled it, it is coupled with security. If you have a breakdown of privacy, privacy laws, legislation, it is wise not to use security protocols located in that country. Why? Because there is no reasonable expectation of privacy in that country. Therefore, you don't have much security either. With strong privacy legislation comes strong security. Myself, I use companies exclusively located in Switzerland. Why? They have the strongest privacy legislation in the world. That's why. And I know because of that, I have the best security over my passwords, over my address books, over my files, all right? That's what I do to protect my privacy and my security for my home, my household, my business, my company. It's exactly what everybody needs to be doing. And I believe amendments to rules like this may cause a big wave of people just doing just that. There is another quote I want to read to you, Gabriel Weinberg. He's the CEO and founder of DuckDuckGo. You know, we're so used to saying, oh, just Google it, and, you know, and then they do, right? It's like ingrained in us. Well, we've got to stop that. I'm going to be doing a show about that because it is worthy of, well, I'm actually going to be doing about three shows on Google and maybe even more. There's a lot to be exposed with that company. DuckDuckGo is an alternative method of conducting your online searches, and it's one that I highly recommend that you use. You could type it in, just type in DuckDuck like quack, quack, go, DuckDuckGo. But this is what he had to say. And you could, by the way, for those of you with an iPhone, not sure on an Android yet, but I know iPhones have, if you go to your Safari settings and you look in, you know what, I'll tell you right now. I'll just go into mine and I'll tell you. All right, I'm going into my settings. Those of you with an iPhone, do this right now. Get your iPhone out. I'll give you a second. Get it out. If you're in the car, don't do this. All right. And as soon as you, and then you go down, you see the settings, and you scroll down to where it says Safari. When you click Safari, in the first line right there, it'll say search engine. And you click there, it'll list Google number one. Of course they want Google to be number one. Yahoo, Bing, and then DuckDuckGo is in here. Please do yourself and your families a favor and your friends. Tell your friends about this. Select DuckDuckGo and then close out of your settings. And then from now on, when you're searching on your phone, you'll be using a private browser, a private search engine, DuckDuckGo, to conduct your searches and not Google, Yahoo, or Bing. There you go. But this is what Gabriel Weinberg, he's the CEO and founder of DuckDuckGo, this is what he had to say. We oppose Rule 41 because we believe people should be able to use the internet privately and securely. Amen, Gabriel. We're standing up for our users and everyone who believes that advances in technology shouldn't come at the cost of our privacy or security. Government surveillance tools should be the product of a reasoned and careful public debate. We welcome that debate in Congress. Well, well said, Gabriel, and everybody else that we just quoted and went through. Unfortunately, that debate never occurred. And like I said earlier, it just quietly happened, didn't it? This wasn't covered by mainstream media outlets. It wasn't covered by even the fair and balanced Fox News Network. It should be, because it has to do with our Constitution. If you care about your Constitution, you need to protect it yourself. You cannot rely on the government anymore to utilize the Constitution in the proper manner. Obviously, they're not doing it. It's there to protect you. You, as we the people, need to do that ourselves. We live such digital lives, lives that are all over the internet, and we have control over that. Okay, we could choose not to use Facebook. All right, I don't use Facebook. Everything you put on there is permanently on there. I don't use Yahoo emails and Google email, free emails. Anything free, you have to question, because if it's free, that means they're taking it, using that tool, whatever it is, to gather information from you. You're the product, okay? So remember that. So we're going to get into our guest now, Jeremy Duffy, a.k.a. He's the geek professor. Jeremy has spent over 20 years of experience, including 10 years, with the Department of Defense to protect government and military computing from nation-state adversaries. He's also an experienced teacher and trainer with the talent of explaining complicated concepts in simple ways to people of all ages and technical skill levels. So we welcome Jeremy Duffy to our show.
Today you face serious threats to your freedoms, such as data collection and weak security by using free email accounts, unwarranted surveillance, and cyber crimes. Ransomware, malware, and a host of other viruses are constantly attacking. Privacy of your online data is freedom. For pennies on the dollar, you can prepare now before it's too late. You too can use the same strength of protection that even Swiss banks are using. Begin today and start regaining your online privacy. Solutions for homes and businesses are found by visiting privacyabroad.com.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
So with Jeremy today, we're going to be discussing this. And Jeremy, welcome to the call. Good to have you. Welcome back, I should say. And
great. Happy to be back.
Great. Good to have you. And thanks for taking the time. And where I'd like to start is if you could, for our listeners' sake, you know, just tell them who you are and your experience and your background and what you're doing today.
All right. Well, I guess the simplest thing to say is that I'm a computer security expert who, well, that sounds really arrogant. Well, anyways, I know a lot about computers. And right about the time I got my master's degree, I realized that there's so many people that don't know about computers, and it puts them at so much incredible amount of risk that it really bothered me, and it bothered me, and it bothered me until I came up with the idea that, well, maybe I could do something about it. And so I started putting together websites, guides, videos, etc., trying to teach people what I knew without them having to go through all the trouble of getting the degrees and the certifications that I did, because I really just don't think people should have to be experts to be safe on a computer. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That's right.
So I started the website, thegeekprofessor.com, and I'm just putzing my way around. I'm not pushing it and selling it like some people sell their information. I want it to be free because I want this to be in people's hands.
Sure.
My goal is to build a speaking briefing business and go around and teach people as much as I can. Happy to help out on web shows like this, the radio show, whatever I can do, anything I can do to get the message out there, because it's amazing how much you can be hurt by knowing so little.
That's right. That is absolutely right. And you do it in an easy way. I mean, how do you, somebody like you with your expertise, how do you break it down for the everyday Joe out there? I mean, what's your trick for doing
it? It's a funny thing. I'm not sure where it comes from specifically, but essentially my entire life has been a series of taking information, encapsulating it, understanding it, and then regurgitating it in a more sensible way to someone else. It was one of the reasons I constantly got dragged into sales positions. People always wanted me to come sell their stuff because they said, okay, you can explain this in a way that people can understand. And I always hated sales jobs because they're pressuring you to sell this idea or that idea or whatever they want, and I was quite a rebel. Got me in trouble because I would just tell people what I thought. But so I'm glad to be out of that. And now the chains are off, and I just tell people what I want them to know.
Nice.
But it's all about understanding the problem and then finding every part of that problem that applies to a specific person and explain it to them in a way they can understand. You use analogies, you simplify the problem, you use information they already know. But it does take a lot of work, a lot of writing. For example, a lot of the videos I write on YouTube, it's a 10-minute video. It took me 3 months to write the script.
Oh, wow. I believe it. Wow. Just to break it down in 10 minutes. That's the hard part.
Exactly. And I wrote pages and pages, and then I took out pages, and I realized I was rambling too much. I went off on a tangent. That's too distracting. I got to focus, and then I rewrote this whole section. Some days it took me multiple days just to write two paragraphs.
Wow. Well, you're obviously gifted in doing that. I mean, that's not everybody, believe me. I have spoken with several IT, I would say either IT professionals, experts, computer guys, and sometimes I'm fairly well versed, but sometimes I don't even know what they're even talking about. I'm like, what are you guys even saying? I mean, if they're losing me,
well,
it's a problem.
It is a little rare in this field. Somebody who can speak and write and also understand computers is a little less common, it's true.
I did accuse one of actually doing this on purpose. I said, you're keeping people in the dark on purpose here. And I was half joking, but half serious too. and he kind of looked at me like, yeah, I am. And I'm not, but it's like, is he serious or not? I still don't know. But in any case, what you said on your, and it was true too. He was a big company that he was head of IT, and he let you know it, let me tell you. But we definitely disagreed on some things, but I think, we're working for one common cause here, and that's to educate people, and that was the principle. But on your website, you said something interesting that, you said, for example, why educate under your why educate area? And you said, for example, the internet makes it easy to access the world's information, but it also made it possible for a foreign scumbag, and that's right, and some of them live in America.
My words, yeah.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. To scam a poor lady in Oregon out of $400,000, that's right. That happens so often. I mean, people don't. And you know what? Yeah, she had 400,000. But what if the woman had 4,000 and that's all she had? That means that's all of her money. That's a lot of money. So it really doesn't matter the amount of money.
The amount is unimportant.
It's irrelevant.
It really is.
That's right. And so you're educating as many people as possible. And that's what we're doing on this show to prevent those kind of stories from happening, because they're happening all the time. And just over Thanksgiving, I spoke with my sister. She works for a big pharmaceutical company, and they all use VPNs, you know, when they're surfing the internet. But all, she said she had three colleagues that had their identity stolen just recently and taken. Okay. And it's a nightmare for them. And it's not enough awareness. And I think this needs to be discussed in this show, because when we get into, and we're getting into the subject of Rule 41 and exactly what happened here, I don't want it to be over the listeners' heads, you know, and so that's why we're discussing stuff like this, because it does happen. And Rule 41, like I just explained for the last 20 minutes to people, really does impact every single one of us. And that's the problem. And Jeremy, I was telling the listeners earlier, before I had you on, the changes to this amendment, this rule, it waters down the restrictions, basically, and it allows the government to apply these warrants in one jurisdiction to conduct remote searches of computers located in others, and it could be anywhere in the world. So here's the changes, and I want to break these down so people understand, but the changes that apply is, and this is a quote, this is how they wrote it, when someone uses, quote, technological means to conceal the location of his or her computer. Define for our listeners what this means, technological means. I know what it means, you do, but maybe listeners don't. I know, you know, VPNs and stuff like that, but can you further explain that for listeners?
Well, I mean, my impression is that the language is problematic only because it's so vague. Mm-hmm. If you say technological means, to me that means anything that is outside of smoke signals and reflected light. So if you're using radio technology, if you're using electricity of any kind, not just computers, but right, anything really. And so basically, they pretty much mean if you're communicating, period.
Oh, that's even worse. That's a good description, but that's even worse. It's just if you're just logging into your computer. Man, that's it.
Sorry, say that again?
If you're logging into your computer, if you're connected to the Wi-Fi.
Well, yeah, I mean, computer anything is already technological. So you're talking any kind of telephone, any kind of computer, any kind of tablet, any kind of device that you use is technological. Even a keypad on your garage door that opens the garage door is mm-hmm. technological.
That's right. Okay, good. No, that's good. And that's, so everybody really, truly is involved in this rule, and that's what I really want to stress.
Well, as long as you use technology, and as far as I know, the only people who don't are the Amish. I mean, no, that's not a slur. That's just literally. I'm pretty sure they're the only ones that don't.
That's exactly right. Yeah, no, they're not using it. And that was the one area. The other one is and how the government is going to do this is by investigating botnets. And
right.
Please explain for our listeners what that means, because some people are saying, I don't even know what a botnet is. I mean, help everybody to understand that, if you would.
Okay. So at its core, the concept of going after botnets is a good thing. And we'll get back to FBI motivations a little later, I'm sure, and why that's not a good enough excuse for them to have this power. But the botnet is essentially modern day hacking. All right, so in the past, if you're old enough, you remember the viruses and worms and such that went around and caused mayhem, like the I Love You virus, the Code Red, the SQL Slammer, etc. These are things that made the news and disrupted lots of computers and caused lots of problems. That's something that people did for attention. They did it for fun. Hacking today is about money. It's about creating a large army of drone computers that can be sold to other people for other purposes. So, say you're on the internet and you check your email, you play a few games, you do your whatever, but
foreign hacker finds a vulnerability in your system. Essentially, they're actually running this automated. They're not doing it by hand. But if your computer is vulnerable, their system takes over yours secretly and silently, and then installs their own specific code that sets up your computer to be part of their network of computers. So now, anything that they want to do or their black market customers want to do, they can use your computer to do instead of their own. It basically makes you their shield. So if they're going to distribute child pornography, the child pornography is on your computer, not theirs. If they're going to hack into some government nation and they don't want to be caught, well, they're using your computer and not theirs. That's why it's valuable. It's a shield. It's a whole network of shields. Sending spam or attacking a website like Amazon to bring it down, to blackmail them into paying millions of dollars, which happens. You are part of that because your computer was not secured. And security is hard, so this is an easy thing to fall into.
That should be scary. I mean, that's scary. I mean, because, you know, you brought up child pornography. I mean, who wants that on their computer other than the people that are in those acts? I mean, if somebody's, you know, shielding you and putting it on, that is frightening. You're the shield.
It's generally unappealing.
Oh, yeah, that is not something you want to be accused of doing. Not good.
No, and you don't want to be a part of these kinds of activities. You don't want to be a part of someone else's illicit activity. But that is what hacking is today. Hacking is about money. It's not about fame. It's not about attention. It's about cash. And that's why all computers are vulnerable. People with the Macs, you got to give up this myth that you're not vulnerable. You are.
Amen. That's right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They used to sell it a decade or so ago. That now, you know, you don't need the antivirus. It's hack-proof.
Sure, because if I'm a virus writer looking for attention, I'm not targeting the tiny little portion of the market that Apples have. But if I'm going for business, you bet your butt I want people with Apples. There's lots of people who are working in businesses that use Apple computers.
With no protection on them.
Even worse. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen that too already. So it is true. Well, so there's a lot wrong with this Rule 41, obviously. This type of power is really unwarranted. It utterly destroys our Fourth Amendment right and international human rights law. That's what it does, and it's wrong in the hands of any government agency anywhere in the world. Doesn't matter. But it's here. It happened in the United States 2 days ago at this point. But here's the thing. We mentioned the botnets, and thank you for that description. And I hope, you know, listeners, you know, really understand that better. I'm sure they do now. But they could hack now stealthily, breaking into computers, copying data, deleting data, executing code. These could have serious consequences for users. Break it down so that they understand, our listeners understand, some of those consequences that could occur from them being able to do this on your computers, you know?
Well, all right. Let's see if we can put this in a way that makes the discomfort easier to understand.
Yes.
Let's say that there's a teenage high schooler kid. There's some kid who knows a lot about computers, and he has found this problem. He doesn't like it in the world. People are stuck on botnets and he wants to help. So he starts hacking into people's computers, your computer maybe, and he starts changing things and messing up the things, and he does what he knows and he's able to get rid of this thing, but it also causes problems. If he's deleting the wrong stuff, or maybe with the way the virus is created, he needs to delete some of your critical files, which puts your computer in an unstable state. So now you start losing data. You start having frequent restarts. You may have to take the computer and get it repaired at your cost because of the things that he did. And the thing is, why would you trust this kid to do this? You would probably be mad at him because he's trying to do a good thing, but he hurt you in the process, and it was sloppy. Plus, while he's browsing your computer, there's nothing to prevent him from saying, hey, that looks interesting. I'm going to, you know, hang on to that picture. I'm going to do this, which I'm not saying the FBI would do that, but they will see your data. They may take copies of your data. And do you know what they're able to do with it? Because I don't. The only way data is safe is if somebody doesn't have it. So if you have somebody browsing around on your computer, making changes, all kinds of things are possible that weren't possible before. And these things are generally bad unless you trust both the technical capability of the agency involved, the responsibility of them to take care of whatever they screw up, if they would own it and then, you know, pay you for it. And basically, if it were Batman, I'd trust him.
No.
But the FBI is not Batman.
You know,
so
definitely.
I'm not really comfortable with them having this kind of power.
Right.
I wouldn't want a random teenage high school student doing it. I wouldn't want the FBI to do it because they have teenage high school students working at the FBI. That's beside the point. The point being
they do.
That it's not as if the government has really proven that they are the best stewards of power.
That's exactly correct. Or that they've proved the opposite. So
generally speaking, I would say yes.
They haven't.
But to be clear, the things that these agencies are there to do are important and they are necessary.
They are.
But they are not Batman, so we can't let them operate without very strict oversight and controls. And that's why these laws need to be in place. They need to have restrictions. They need to have walls that they are not allowed to overcome, because we have to accept some level of risk to have freedom. So you can't just give them every power in the world and hope that it doesn't go bad. Hope is not a security plan.
That's exactly right. And what you just said with restrictions is exactly what just happened with Rule 41. There were restrictions in place. Now they're not there. The restrictions have been
right. The idea was to have reasonable restrictions to prevent abuse.
That's right.
And it's not necessarily always intentional abuse. Sometimes it's just incompetent. You make
Correct.
It possible for them to incompetently cause you problems.
That's exactly right. Yeah, no, it's very well said. So basically, a government agent could end up doing more damage to the computer of these users that don't even know that they're even on the computer to begin with. So they're not going to fess up and say, I messed your computer up, and here's, you know, $300 to take it into.
That'll never happen.
Yeah.
Well, it's not about personal responsibility and them being afraid to admit it. It's about the, let's see, I'm going to assume the FBI has similar rules to some of the other agencies, and that by telling people what they're doing, where they're doing it, how they're doing it, they're giving away important information about their capabilities, about their activities, about who they target and why, and they don't ever want to allow that. So they will stay completely silent no matter what they do wrong, because it harms their ability to actually get the bad guys. So basically, you become a casualty, and a silent casualty, and you will never find redress.
You'll never find it. Well, this is going to be a good business for the Geek Squad and other, when you really break it down, it probably will.
Well, let me put it this way. If the Geek Squad had a tool that they could use to go on my computer and check things and fix things for me, I wouldn't give it to them either.
Amen. You know, and that I met somebody the other day that actually had something, you know, wrong with their computer. Took it in. It was an older computer. Took it in to the Geek Squad. They fixed it, and then he said the scary words to me. He said, now they're going to remotely check my computer every 6 months or so. And I'm like, what did you just say? I said they're going to remotely do it whether you're on there or not. I mean, what? And he said, yeah, they're going to go in there and check things out for me, make sure everything's running all right. And I said, and you're fine with that? Do you know these people? I mean, you know, and that to me is scary, but that's what they're – have you heard of them doing this?
I've heard of problems with Geek Squad before. For instance, when you bring a computer in and then they download and keep copies of your files for their own, you know, interest. That was a story from 7-8 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when you're new to this idea of evaluating risk and understanding just how untrustworthy companies can be, and not intentionally, it's just a product of the fact that you have a bunch of random people working this job. How do people at Geek Squad get hired? Do they have a background clearance? No, of course not.
No,
they're just computer people that are hired to do a job, and they have different motivations, they have different backgrounds, they have different ideas of what's morally right and what's not. Mm-hmm. These aren't all Batman. I'm going to go back to Batman. I apologize.
Right now.
But
it's okay.
You have to understand, they're just people, and you don't know these people. Just because they have a T-shirt on that says Geek Squad doesn't make them any better than any other random computer person.
That's exactly right.
You don't know their motivations. You don't know what they want. You don't know what they're after. You don't know what they'll do.
Are you tired of having to remember all your passwords? Wouldn't it be nice to have all your important files, usernames, and passwords in one secure location? Finally, there's a solution for homes and enterprises. SwissSafe will store and protect all your files and passwords using military-grade encryption. SwissSafe is the preferred online digital vault for Swiss financial institutions such as UBS, Allianz, and AXA Winterthur. Create ultra-strong passwords that you never have to remember again. Send files securely to anyone at any time. Use a patented data inheritance feature for your beneficiaries. For more information, visit MySwissSafe.com. That's MySwissSafe.com.
I'm not suggesting they will do anything wrong, but you have no way of knowing they won't. The only safe thing to do is to not give them access.
That's right.
I mean, the people that I trust and give access to things, like I give a key to my house, I give a password to my account.
Right.
This is very limited. Passwords, for example, I think pretty much just my wife, and she's earned that right after 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. I would hope so.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, yeah, because you can't trust that easily on things that are this important. And I'm not saying you have to be paranoid either. This is really more about understanding the risk. The risk is there if you give up the access, and it isn't if you don't, or at least it's lessened.
It's lessened.
So why give it up easily? Why give it up?
That's exactly right. And it's not about being paranoid. It's about controlling what's yours. This is yours. These passwords are yours. Your data is yours. And you need to control it and not be loose with it. And that's the problem. So when these ransomware attacks occur, and they are occurring, horrific. Oh, it is the worst, and it is hitting just everyday people, just, you know, retired people sitting on their computers emailing their grandkids once a day or something, you know, and it's hitting them, locking their computers down, you know the deal, and then they're desperate. Now they're in a desperate state, and they literally will do anything, including call the number posted on the little pop-up, which is written by the ransomware thieves. They will call them, and because they have customer service departments that take these phone calls, how kind of them, and start extracting money from them. It is horrific. It's terrible. But they're in this desperate
case. And you don't want to be put into that situation. That's really bottom line.
That's right. That's
you want to do what you can. Take reasonable measures to avoid that kind of issue. It's kind of like teaching people to close and lock their door when they leave every day. So people don't realize it, but because of the way computers are, they're walking out the door and leaving it wide open. So if relating it to your home and your house is the way to do it, then there you go. So all we're trying to do, we're not trying to teach you how to, you know, set up Fort Knox. We just want you to close and lock your door.
That's right. That's right. And that's all we're trying to do is help people do that. Our advertisers do that. I do not allow anybody on this show, guest or advertiser that isn't in line with exactly what we're saying here, to give people and educate people on the ways to do it easily. Not anything complicated. They don't have to run out and get a degree in IT. Not at all. It's not needed for everyday people out there. They can't do it anyway. So a lot of times you're not going to be able to do that. But,
well, I mean, come on. 80% of your risk is handled by fairly simple things.
That's right.
because for the most part, nobody's after you. You're just a victim of the moment. If,
right.
Like I said before, hackers aren't attacking people. They just run computer scripts on the internet that look around for vulnerable computers. So if your computer's vulnerable, well, that's you. They get you today. They don't care who you are. They don't know who you are. It doesn't make a bit of difference to them.
That's right, and that's exactly right. That's the mass. That's 80% of the. You know, I know they're doing targeted attacks on CEOs these days with these business email conferences.
Oh, sure.
But that's it. That's a. You know, that those are few and far.
If you're a person of interest, sure, but that's a whole different situation.
Totally different, and they're successful doing those. They are very successful.
Generally, because you have to teach these people more. You have to explain to them more, and it definitely takes a little more effort, a little more time. But that's why they hire consultants, so they can be taught these methodologies and what have you. But for regular people, read a couple of guides online, follow some simple practices, and you're good to go.
That's right. Well, and you've explained...
not perfectly, but better.
Well, a lot better. Yeah, that's right. And that's the point of doing this show, alert people of this. In this case, is this Rule 41 that has really broken down more of our safeguards, and we need to be on alert. We need to control our own information and not give it to other people. And in this case, we don't even realize when they're doing it and what they're doing. And there's going to be serious consequences for this. On the side, and I want to close with this, and not just on the side of as we talk about the consequences of a government agency actually doing the harm, but can't this open it up? Open these computers up to even more cyber crimes?
Possibly. It really depends on what the FBI is doing specifically. If they do destabilize your computer, well, a destabilized computer is one that's at risk. That's how people hack them in the first place. Strangely enough, when the bad guys get into your computer, one of the first things they do is secure it. They make it better because they don't want to lose control of the computer that they just got. So they'll actually apply security patches. They'll harden your system. You're actually better off under the control of a foreign hacker than you were before. I mean, other than the fact that they can do their nefarious things, but as far as your total system security, hey, top notch.
They're securing everybody in so they could steal easier.
Well, so nobody else steals your computer from them.
You
belong to them now.
That's right. That's right. Boy, there's a lot of people. I wouldn't even want to guess at the number right now. But from what I am seeing and hearing, that number of, I would say, computers held at ransom and they don't even realize it, but exactly what you just said right there, it has to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, and they have no idea.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The largest botnets alone have more than 200,000-300,000 computers in them. That's under the control of one organization. I guarantee you that there's more than one botnet owner group out there. So, yeah, we're talking millions. I mean, as many as the computer scripts can find. So if you've got 100 million computers and all of them have this one vulnerability that Microsoft or whoever hasn't found yet, but the hackers have, well, yeah, there could be several million computers all connected at once. And that's why it's a big problem. It's one of the reasons the FBI is able to justify this kind of expansion of power, because they say, hey, things are desperate. Things are bad. We need this to get this done. And like I said, I disagree. I think there needs to be...
Me too.
They need to have this power, and they need to exercise it, but they need to do it with restrictions, and those restrictions need to be reasonable. Having a rule in place where you can essentially, if dad says no, go to mom, and you're cool, that I think goes a little too far.
Well, they've definitely gone too far with this one, and I just hope and pray that it's not abused. But you know what? I've seen enough.
Well, there's only one way to be sure. There's only one way to be sure they won't abuse it, and that's to make sure they don't have it.
They don't have it. That's the only way to make sure. And so we'll see.
Well, and technically they could still abuse it, but at least there would be consequences.
Well, that's then there's the other problem right there. The consequences.
Yeah, that is. I know when I said that, I still kind of cringed a little. But
yeah,
look at it this way: it's a spectrum, okay? It's the dial on the stereo from 1 to 10. We want to turn that sucker down, okay? So turning it down, it can still be too loud, but at least it's not a 10.
That and that, my friends, is what's going on today. And that's where we're at. So, I mean, you know, the bottom line in closing, look, this is what's happening. You're now aware of it. You're made aware of what Rule 41 is. So when you see it and you don't, you know, it's not a, you know, a foreign word to you, you know what it is. And you could refer back to the show. It'll be on podcast. You could always refer back to it. And take the advice of what Jeremy's giving to you. He's extremely knowledgeable. He's broken this down. He's done a great job breaking this down and making it easy to know. Yeah, great job. And we'll have you back on again with some future shows that we have. I want to again thank you for taking the time to spend the time educating people on this show, Jeremy. We appreciate it very much. And in closing, to our listeners, look, we're here to help you. We're here to educate you. Listen to our guests. Listen to our advertisers. They have been seriously screened. I could assure you of that. And we're here to stay. We're here to continue to give out this information for your benefit. And until next time on George Orwell 2084. So have a great day, everybody. Buddy.